In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Eleanor McCullen. Glad to be with you today. I want to talk a little bit about yesterday. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As long as Jesus is still on the throne and hears and answers prayer, and your faith in him is intact, it's all going to come out good. It's all going to turn out good. And you know, we need to hear that message over and over again, because discouragement is something very real. As long as Jesus is still on the throne, he has not abdicated the throne, and he hears and answers prayer, and your faith in him is intact, it's going to turn out all right. That's the way it is. It's going to turn out all right. Even this mess with abortion, you know, 4,000 children every single day swept away from the womb. 4,000 people. And the church doesn't even pray about it anymore. How sad. I remember Cardinal Madero saying, we have to pray for this every single day. We have to pray that this stops every single day. Well, when's the last time you heard it, unless you listen to us, that abortion is one of the crimes that God has set and says, this is evil, this is evil, this is killing, this is killing, this is killing. Eleanor has some stories to tell us, but first she wants to say hello.
Oh, hello everyone. It's very nice to be here and be with you too, Father. And I love the first part where you said Jesus is the Lord, and when we live in him and he lives in us, there's nothing to fear. And it just reminded me of the day after the election, Father. We were outside of Planned Parenthood, and you know, there was such anger that Donald Trump won. And people couldn't believe it. It obviously, it seems to be a miraculous decision that he did win. And we have the House and the Senate, and we have Republican governors that are pro-life and more than we've had since 1922. So it was a shock, but we were assaulted. I don't want to go into it, but people cursed us up and down. Well, somebody spit on me. Someone took the signs and threw them in the street. And one of our people, one of our pro-life people came over and said to me, you know, I'm scared. I want to go home. And I said, wait a second. You have Jesus. If you have Jesus in you and he's around you and he loves you, and what do we have to be afraid of? We're protected here. You're not going home. You're going to stay here, because when you have Jesus, you have everything. And I loved how you started that, Father, because it's true. And it reminded, and she stayed and we were fine. And yes, if you have Jesus, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're involved in, whatever adversity you have Jesus in your heart, and you love him and you worship him, and you, everything will be all right. Just like Father said, he is our Lord and he protects us and he takes over. And it's a beautiful, it's true, and we believe, and it's a beautiful gift that we've received, Father, that we know that. And our prayer for everybody is that they know that Jesus is there for them, loves them, knows what's going on, and will protect them.
Jesus has not abdicated the throne. Jesus has not abdicated the throne. He tells you nothing is impossible with God, and I am in control. Not me, Jesus. I am in control, he says to you today. Believe it, because it's going to work out.
Yes, that's true. Amen, Father. Now, let's see, stories. Well, I don't know. How about I start with the Chinese couple?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. A young couple came along not too long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and attractive, young, 23. And I began to speak with them, and they just brushed me off. You know, you put your hand up, meaning, like, get away. So that was the end of that. I really didn't say anything. And then Mary approached them and didn't have any luck either. And they did go into the abortion place. And there was nothing much we could do at that point. Now, a few moments later, they came out of Planned Parenthood, and they went around the corner, and they sat on like a little ledge. And Mary said to me, "Eleanor, the Chinese couple are on the side there. They're sitting on the ledge." And I said, "Well, you know, I already tried. You tried. You know, I wasn't about to go back." And you might think, "Oh, Eleanor goes back and does all these things." No, I said, "Well, we tried, Mary. That's about it." So about a minute later, I was by myself and I was standing there. I said, "Well, Mary told me I'll go back." So I did. I went over to the ledge where this attractive Chinese couple was sitting. And I started to talk to them and offered my card. I had the Watch Me Grow booklet that shows how the baby grows from the moment of conception. I tried to like open it up a little bit, but they still put their hand up and they didn't say anything. Finally, the woman said to me, "We speak Chinese. Do you speak Chinese?" So I said, "No, I don't speak." No, I shook my head, "No." So I guess I said to myself, "Well, this is the end of that." So I walked back, and moments later, Father, I'd say 60 seconds later, I'm standing there, and along the street came a very nice young man, a Chinese man. So without thinking, I just went up to him and I said, "Do you speak Chinese?" And he said very nicely, he's about 23. He said, "Yes." I said, "Oh, could you help me?" So, you know, he's looking at me like, "Oh, great. What did I get into? I'm on my way to class." But he didn't, you know, he was very sweet. And I told him what I do. I said, "I stand here. I try to help women and men. They're going through a decision. And that couple on the side there, they're from China and they speak Chinese. And can you give my message to them in Chinese?" So he said, "Yes." So we went back, and I fed him the words, "We can help you. We'll surround you with love." And then he speaks Chinese. And then I said, we can take you to a safe place." And he opened the Watch Me Grow booklet. They were looking at that. And he's going on and on for about 5 minutes. Now, I'm trusting him that he's saying all the things I want him to say. And they're listening to him, Father. They're listening, and he's saying, "These people will help you. There's a safe place you can go. Do not do anything today." Everything I fed him, he said in Chinese. And then I said, "Okay, give them my card," because they wouldn't take my card before. I said, "Here, give them my card." So he gave them my card. So it was about, we were there together for about 7 minutes. And then we just kind of left them sit there and think about what he said. And I walked him down the street a little bit, and I said, "Thank you." I said, "That was very nice of you to do that." And I said, "That was good work." And so then, guess what? The Chinese couple, they never went back in. We never saw them again. We assumed they just walked down the street and went home. So what's the moral of that story? Never give up. I was quick to say, "Well, I already spoke to them." But you know what? The Lord said, "Guess what?" And it shouldn't just be one time. You have to persevere. And the Chinese man came along at the perfect time.
Look at God's activity in the midst of all this. That he wanted to save this child, he sends a Chinese man. This is a miracle. You see, God wants these children saved, and he sends a Chinese man so that these people could hear the truth. This is something just miraculous. It's not something that just happened. It's something that God ordained from the foundation of the world. Are you pregnant today? Is that pregnancy a problem? I tell you, you're going to bring forth a beautiful baby boy or a baby girl, and God will see you through. He will help you. I know there's someone listening to me that's pregnant, and it's a problem pregnancy, and people are saying, "Abort, don't abort." You see what God did? Sent a Chinese person to these people because God wants these children alive.
That's so true, Father. And before, maybe I should mention this now, as long as people are listening, and you may not be pregnant, but maybe your sister's pregnant or your friend, and they're alone and they're scared and they're thinking of abortion. And one thing I just wanted to mention, Father, there's a new home that just opened. Of course, we have a wonderful place for a young pregnant woman to go if she's alone. Friends of the Unborn, they do a beautiful job. It's a lovely home to go. You can live there free, and you can stay there 6 months after your baby's born, and you'll be taken care of. That's Friends of the Unborn. But there's a new house, Father, that just opened in the Duxbury Pembroke line, and I didn't tell her ahead of time that I was going to mention this, so I'll give my telephone number out. If you're 18 to 25 and you're alone and you have no place to stay and you're pregnant, you can stay there for up to 2 years. It's called the Bethesda House. I will tell you that. It's called the Bethesda House. And the telephone number would be 617-733-2264. And so that's another option for people, because people say, what can I do? I'm all alone. I have no place to stay. My boyfriend left. My father's not speaking to me. But guess what? We're a group of people that will surround you with love. We have houses where you can stay. We have baby showers. We have groceries. We have housing. There's so many things that we can do that you don't even realize. You can't imagine. So, which leads me, I suppose, Father, I'll tell this story then. This was about a week ago, and a young couple came by about, I like to paint a picture of, they were about like 24, and I greeted them first. And they said, no, they know what they're doing. They have to have this abortion. And I said, do you have any other children? And they said, no, this is our firstborn. And I said, oh my goodness, firstborn son, and you're going here? Well, let me tell you, he said, and he was very proud of himself. He said to me, well, let me say something. We do want to have children, but not right now. Imagine that, Father. So he thought I'd say, oh, good, they want to have children. It's interesting that they know it's a child, isn't it? Because he said, we do want to have children, but not right now. I said, yeah, I know. I know that feeling. However, God has a plan for this young son that you are carrying, and it's God's plan that this baby comes. I understand that feeling. You want the car. You want the white picket fence. You want the dog. You want the house and the two TVs, and then you want to be pregnant. But life doesn't turn out like that. God always brings the baby in his timing, and God's timing is perfect. So I said, this is God's plan. You cannot do this. And I did paint the picture of a son. I said, a son, and the Lord does not want that baby taken from the womb. I will help you. I will surround you with everything that you need. We will surround you with love. We can do this together. I know you're not going to have this abortion. I just know you can't. And they said, yes, we can. And we're going in, and goodbye. And they did go in. And I was out of breath even telling this story. You know, it's emotional, Father. It's so emotional. You have somebody right here, and you just want to shake them, but you can't do that. And so even at the time, you're kind of out of breath. And now I'm going through that emotion of them standing there. And then they go in. I mean, they were a couple on a mission. They had decided this is what they're doing. They don't want a child right now, and no one is going to stop us. So as soon as they went in, I told Mary the story, and then we go right into the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We find that a very powerful prayer, and so we both said the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And Father, I would say within 50 minutes, 45 minutes, they both came out, and they both said, you know what? We couldn't do it. You were right. We couldn't do it. And I said, I knew you'd come out. I knew you would. And we're going to help you, and it's going to be fine. And they were very thankful. They got in their car. They said they had their own doctor. They didn't want to go to pregnancy help for the ultrasound, which I would have wanted them to do. I always like to, put a little icing on the cake. The ultrasound, when you see that baby in the womb, you see the baby formed, you hear that heart beating 151 times a minute. It's just like, I just like to put that, just have it clinch it, shall we say. When they see the ultrasound, you cannot go backwards because you know that it is a little teeny tiny baby. So, but they have their own doctor. They said thank you, and they did call me one day later just to say thank you. But, and so I haven't really helped them yet, but as it gets closer, we're collecting things, baby clothes, and we're collecting all kinds, you know, all things father that babies need, swings and bassinets and all that wonderful stuff. So that was a good story, and praise the Lord.
You see, God sends his grace upon some people. I think upon all people.
Yeah.
But some people say no to the grace. Mm-hmm. God is sending grace to you today in your situation. Whatever your situation is, you feel like you're all alone, you're in the darkness, that there's no light for you. I'm telling you, God is sending his grace to you. I'm not only talking about pregnant people. I'm talking about people that hear our voice today. You feel this, it's all over. Things just never work out. But God is sending his grace to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace will carry you through. But you've got to accept the grace. You see, everyone that they talk to at the abortion mill do not accept the grace. But some people do. That's why they've got to be out there. The God gives grace in your situation today for what you need. And even though it seems so dark, even though it seems so empty, and you say, where is God? I tell you, the God is giving grace to you right this moment. Accept it. Mm-hmm. Accept it. Say, I accept this grace. But you say, I don't feel it. I don't care what you feel. God is sending grace into your heart. Accept it.
Oh, that's so true, Father. It reminds me, actually, of a story. I'll tell the story. And this happened about, I'll say 2 months ago, maybe 2.5 months ago. And this young couple came by. They're all young, I guess, 23. They all look young to me. Anyway, they're about 23, and they were arguing, walking down the street. And I was just watching them and listening. And he was telling her, he said, come on, we made up our mind. Let's go. Get in. Go in there. And then she said, it's hard. You don't know how hard this is. And I suppose she was crying a little bit. I can't remember that part. But she was upset. And he said, we made this decision. Now stop it. And she said, but you don't understand. I'm scared. I don't know. I don't know about this. And it's hard to do. And, of course, every time they stopped a little bit, I was able to say, hello, good morning. I said, I can help you, and we can help you and see what the situation is. We could go to a safe place and argue this out away from this building. No, we're going in, he said. We're going in. Come on, come on, come on. And I said, well, she's unhappy now. You cannot bring her, you cannot force her to come in. And I said to her, please, do not let anybody force you into doing anything. Don't let this man take charge. We have a safe place. Let's go there and discuss all of this, and we can help you. And I think it proceeded. I was getting nowhere. Let's put it that way. I was getting nowhere. They were still arguing. And then, Father, talk about grace. I'm still standing there thinking, all right, what shall I do next? And all of a sudden, the guy who was so adamant, he turned to me and he said, where's the safe place? And, so there was the grace, and how it happened so quickly, it like threw me off because I said, oh, okay, and so right away he changed. He changed. It was fascinating to see the darkness turn into light. And it's always hard to explain, but I experienced that. And you experience it too, Father. There's nothing like seeing the darkness fade away and the light go on, like a light bulb goes on. So there again, as you say, I was there. I was offering rescue. I was offering refuge, a safe spot, and he took it. So what happened with them we went over to Pregnancy Help. That's run by the Archdiocese. And I said we would see the ultrasound. And we got over there. They speak to the people, find out what the problem is, what do they need, housing. She actually needed health insurance, and we arrange for that. We can get health insurance. We can do a lot of things, Father. And we can do everything through the grace of God. So, but we couldn't get the ultrasound right away, so we had to go out for lunch. So that's what we did. We had to go out for lunch for about 2.5 hours and come back. That was the first time we could get the ultrasound, because I didn't want to leave that day without the ultrasound. So we went out for lunch. In fact, we were getting to know each other so well and having fun. I forgot why I had them out for lunch. All of a sudden, I looked at my watch, and I said, oh, my heaven, we have to go back. We have to get the ultrasound. So we did. We got back. I was on time. But it's funny how you get involved with people, and they're very interesting and fun to be with. And so that part went well. Now we go back. We get the ultrasound. Well, the ultrasound was beautiful. You could hear the heart beating, and the baby, it was very, very clear picture, of the baby kicking. And so I said to the father-to-be, I said, how do you feel now? He said, I have baby fever. And he was all smiles. This is the same man 3 or 4 hours earlier that was telling me to get lost. But grace came, and just like you said, Father, receive the grace. That's our prayer for everybody. We all throw it away, I guess, sometimes, and we think, a missed opportunity. But when something's life and death, you have to accept that grace. It's so precious.
And again, how God intervenes. Why doesn't it happen to everybody? That's the question. And I'm going to tell you, I have no idea. But I know everyone who's going into that mill has been given the grace to say, I'm going to keep my baby. But then they start reasoning and saying, I'm not ready. I'm going to tell you, when you're not ready, God is always ready. Mm-hmm. No matter what. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I come up here to preach the word of God and I say, I'm not ready. But you see, God is ready. He's always ready. And that's the way it is. That's faith. That's faith. As long as God is on the throne and hears and answers prayer, everything's going to be all right. No matter what your situation is, just turn it over to God. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over. Turn it over. Turn it over. God will bring good out of it, whatever it is.
That's so true, Father. And the, I was interviewed last week. The people from BU are coming down to interview some of us, and they want to find out, like, what do we like Trump, and are we against, are we trying to get Planned Parenthood defunded, et cetera. Of course, we are. Our taxpayer money should not go to pay to kill children in the womb. So she said, I said, I really care about the people. And when they come by, and she said, how come you care? Like, how do you care? And that's a mystery, too, isn't it, Father? As soon as I'm talking to a couple, I care. I really care. It's like I've known them. So I said, well, you know what it is? And she looked at me, and I said, you know, Jesus puts a love in your heart for people. Once you step out, and because you know what, Father? Jesus loves people. So if we're there to try to help people that he loves, then he puts a love in your heart for them. And you can't explain that love. Like, she looked at me quizzingly, like, how could that be? I said, I know it's hard to explain, but I sincerely care for these people. And as you know, Father, when I work at the prison, and I invite all people to come out to Planned Parenthood and also to join me at Norfolk Prison, I love the men too, Father. That Jesus puts a love in your heart for them right at that moment. It doesn't matter about anything else. And so because we love his people, he loves us, and he helps us to help them.
It really is all about giving it away. Giving it away. It's not about keeping it to ourselves. Whether it be the grace that God's given us, or the money God's given us, or the house God's given us, we've got to learn how to give things away. What are they building? More buildings to hold junk. Isn't it sad when you could get the joy of giving it away? So you're paying money every month because you want your stuff in storage. Give it away, for heaven's sake. Give it to somebody who needs it. Find somebody who's going to appreciate it. Don't put things into storage where you're paying money every single month, and it's good money too. Well, I want to remind you that we need to pray for Mr. Trump. We cannot stop praying because he's been elected, and now we need to pray for wisdom, the wisdom of God that would work through him. So again, we pray for Mr. Trump, and we pray, God, that you would give him your wisdom and that he would be the president that would really make America great again, but not without you. You can't make America great without Jesus. You can't. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to cross the Atlantic stream, the Atlantic River, the Atlantic Ocean, and I don't know how to swim. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You can't do things without the grace of God, and that grace is being poured out upon you. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I tell you, we love Jesus Christ, and we know his love and power. How people need to hear about Jesus. When's the last time you shared a little bit of your faith with people that you gave it away? Oh, it's all about giving it away. You say, but I don't feel it. I'm not a priest. I'm not a nun. You don't have to be. You have to be able to just say, Lord, use me. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.